reason I'm going in a different direction this morning is someone asked me a question. How would you tell someone to read the Bible? So I thought about it. And as I thought about it, the Lord seemed to give me some ideas, and I thought, you know, that'd be worth sharing in church too. And so I'm going to talk about how to read the Bible most profitably. Just as I say, there's two basic things you need to be convinced of. The Bible is the Word of God, one, and two, it's worth reading because we're going to gain something of value from it. How do we know that? 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture, which would be all 66 books of the Bible, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Profitable. Hey, I'll give you a job and you'll make a lot of money. It's very profitable work. Oh, okay. Hey, God wrote a book. If you read it, it's very profitable for your soul. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And then another place is Isaiah 48. Along this line, Isaiah 48 and verse 17. We're going to look at quite a bit of Scripture today, Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. So he's talking to redeemed people. The Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God. And he identifies himself as the ever-living one. And here's what he does for his people, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldst go. He teaches us to profit and leads us in the right way. Isn't that what Joshua said? Don't let the book of the law depart from your mouth, but live by God's word, then thou shalt prosper and have good success. So how can we do that? How can we read the Bible most profitably? First of all, it's not enough just to read the Bible. I'll read a couple verses and go on my way. Is that going to bring profit? Better than not reading it at all, but is that all there is to it? Well, first of all, we must read the Bible. I've heard someone say there are three cardinal rules to reading the Bible, to understanding the Bible. One, read it. Two, read it. Three, read it. All right. A lot of people read the Bible and say, I don't really seem to understand it, or I don't get much out of it. Well, there can be reasons for that too, but we must read the Bible properly in order to receive the most benefit from it. How should I read the Bible? How may we read the Bible most profitably? Well, first of all, we have to have a proper attitude toward the Bible. We need to come to the Bible not just as any ordinary book, but with awe and reverence, recognizing that the Bible is the inspired Word of God, the only inspired Scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Well, sometimes we read something based on who wrote it. If we have a high regard for who wrote it, we'll read it with a lot of interest and care. If we don't necessarily like the person who wrote it or have much care for him, we probably aren't going to take what they wrote too seriously. But God wrote the Bible, and how should we receive it? Verse 13. For this cause also thank we God, this is 1 Thessalonians 2:13, without ceasing. Why is Paul thanking God? Because when ye received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men. In other words, you didn't hear us preach and say, ah, that's just Paul talking. No. but as it is in truth. You recognize it's more than just a man-made book. The Word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe. Once you believe that, God started doing great things in your life, amazing things in your life. Isaiah 66 tells us how God requires us to approach His Word. Isaiah 66, one and two. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? Are you not interested in buildings? God doesn't live in churches or temples. For all these things have my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look. This is what God's interested in. Here's who I have a regard to. Even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. This is the word of God, not of men. I need to treat it like it's a divine book. God himself, my creator, my final judge, writing to me what I need to know to be right with him. Tremble. There's that awe and reverence and high regard and great respect for the Bible. Now, you don't make it a butt for jokes or you know, treat it like it's any other book. The next thing, notice, we haven't read the Bible yet. How do you come to the Bible so you can read it most profitably? Well, we need to come humbly and quietly to the Bible. Now, a lot of people look in the Bible to find something to pick a bone with, or to find a fault with, or to argue with. No, we're not supposed to come to the Bible to angrily argue with it, or to resist it, or to contradict it, but we're to meekly listen to God's Word. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, you know, when someone of great honor and power and position speaks, people normally pay them respect and give them a hearing. But God's speaking, and who are we to speak back to God? We need to listen humbly and quietly. Verse 1, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. You know, you don't speak unless you're spoken to. There's a thing that we often tell children. And when you do speak, it should be very, very respectful. Don't say anything that is out of line. Well, we need to be careful that we don't let our passions and our prejudices take over. James chapter 1. Verse 18 tells us how we have been born again. Of his own will begat he us, speaking of God. How did he do it? With the word of truth, with the gospel. That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, all right, God saved us with his truth. How should we hear his truth? Let every man be swift to hear. Because I want to hear what God says. I want to receive all I can from him. I'm not going to drag my feet and go to church like, oh man, this is something I really don't want to do. Be swift to hear, slow to speak. Don't answer that. Slow to wrath. Don't get mad. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Stay right there in James. We're coming to the next point. And we come to the Bible. Put everything away that would hinder our receiving God's word. Now, there's things in our lives that keep us from understanding the Bible. What's James 1:21 saying? Wherefore, right, when you come to hear God's truth, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, overflowing wickedness, and receive with meekness, there's that humble, quiet attitude, receive with meekness the engrafted word. Let the word get planted deep in your soul. Don't push it out before it ever gains entrance. Which is able to save your souls. You know, you can't plant something where there's all kinds of weeds already there. We got to get rid of all these weeds if we want God's word planted in our hearts. So put away all those things. 1 Peter 2 gives us some examples of what we need to put away. In verses 1 and 2, therefore, laying aside all malice and all guile. Or malice is when you want to hurt someone. Guile is when you want to deceive someone. And hypocrisy. Don't be phony. Don't put on a front. Be open and honest. And envies. And all evil speaking. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. In other words, get rid of this and then come to the Bible in innocence, like a newborn baby. And then you can receive the milk of His word to grow. It's our sins that keep us from hearing God speak to us and understanding His word. In Daniel chapter 9, Daniel refers to this in his prayer of confession. Daniel chapter 9, verse 13. In that verse, Daniel says, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us. As Moses said, if we sin, we would suffer these things. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God. We didn't go to Him in prayer, that we might turn from our iniquities, our sins, and understand Thy truth. In other words, confess our sins, turn from them, and then we can understand. Otherwise, our minds are all clouded, darkened by our sin. And now we're ready to read. And we should read the scriptures daily. Isaiah 34 and verse 16. Seek ye out the book of the Lord. Go looking for what God says. Go find the Bible. Not people have to chase you down with it and you run from them. You should go looking, running to the Bible and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. For my mouth it hath commanded, and His spirit it hath gathered them. Seek ye out and read. And if you do, what's Revelation 1:3 say? Why should I read? Well, here's what Jesus promised in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed is He, happy is He. God will do things for he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Blessed. Proverbs 8, talking about wisdom, which is another name for both the Lord Jesus and the Scriptures. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 33 and 34. When should I read the Bible? Once a month? Once a week? Once in a while? Verse 33, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. All right, there's the attitude. Be receptive, not refuse. Blessed is the man that heareth me. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Daily. It's like the manna. Remember the manna? The Bible. The manna of our souls, the bread from heaven that we feed upon and it nourishes us to eternal life. Well, when did they get the manna? Early in the morning. In other words, we should read the scriptures daily and preferably early. Exodus and chapter 16. I would hope that before you even came to church, you had time in God's Word, you had time in prayer, you had time preparing your hearts, and that you came here all already exercised on the Lord's Day to hear the Lord's Word. Exodus 16:21, it says, "And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. Once the sun came up, the manna was gone." Well, maybe our schedule doesn't allow it, but it's much better to hear God in private before we go out to speak to men in public. First, to have God talk to us, and then go out and do our daily tasks. Proverbs chapter 8 gives a good promise to those who seek God early. Verse 17. "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me." Now, if you really love someone, you want to be with them. You want to be there as soon as you can with them. And so God says, if you love me, you'll seek me early. You want to have time with me first thing. And when you do that, I'll be there for you. What did Jesus do? He went out a great while before day and prayed every day. Another thing is, it's not enough just to read the scripture, like a superficial, I'll read it. No, we should study the scripture thoroughly and diligently. In other words, really dig into it. Isn't that what Jesus said in John 5:39, he says, "Search the scriptures, dig into them, go deeply into them, go to the very bottom, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Search them out. And in 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul tells us, "Study." That means do your diligence or work hard to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. How can I be approved to God and do His work so as never to be ashamed? By rightly dividing the word of truth. A lot of people read the Bible very superficially. They don't go into it deeply and compare spiritual things with spiritual. And so they come up with all kinds of wrong ideas and false conclusions and erroneous beliefs. And they're convinced of this. No, you got to rightly divide the word of truth. Not just go, you know, look at the surface of it and hear what it sounds like without digging in and find out, is that what the Bible really says? Very little of that. Another thing we have to do. Don't forget what you read. You know, you can read the Bible, walk away, and never think about it again, and it didn't do any good. Sort of like putting water in a sieve, as he says in Hebrews, it just runs right out and doesn't hold. So what we have to do is meditate upon the scriptures that we read. And that means to bring it to mind and think about it often through the day. Keep running it over in our thoughts and considerations. Psalm 1:2. Psalm chapter 1 and verse 2 says, "But his delight," here's the blessed man, "his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." In other words, what is goes through your mind through the day? What do you think about? Is it the Bible, or a lot of things that probably if you If you, what if your thoughts were put up on a screen and everyone could see them? Well, if it's the law of the Lord, it'd be like reading the Bible when they saw your thoughts on the screen. In other words, that's what should be filling our minds. And then we also should memorize it. Best way not to lose it, forget it, is to memorize it. Isn't that what Psalm 119 is referring to in verse 11? Psalm 119. Here, I have this valuable diamond. Take care of it for me. Oh, all right, you set it down, walk away, and you come back. Where'd it go? Here's the scripture. You need to put it in a safe place. All right, where's the safest place? Our heart. Psalm 119 in verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." The Bible is a treasure, and the heart is a treasure chest, that I might not sin against thee. And again, that's how we're kept from sin, is by memorizing and holding fast to the scripture. Right, the next point is that we need to read the word, not depending on the power of our human intellect. I'm a smart person, I can figure out what it means. No, we're not. We need to read the word with simple dependence upon the Holy Spirit. He's the only one who can teach us the meaning of the Bible and enable us to apply it properly to our lives. 1 Corinthians 2, a lot of places we could look. I'm not trying to go into anything too thoroughly, but at least touch on each one. 1 Corinthians 2:11 says, "For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man." As we can't figure them out with our own unaided mind, by our human reason. And so he says, "The things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God." He lives in our hearts as Christians, so that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That's how we can know them, not in any other way. He's the one who was given to instruct us. That's his ministry, to be the one who teaches us truth. Paul knew this. He prayed it for the Ephesians. He wanted them to know some things. And in Ephesians 1, he told them how they could know them. He says in verse 17, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." Now they have the Spirit. He's praying for the ministry of the Spirit to increase in their lives as the Spirit taught them God's truth. "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened." See, there's two things necessary to seeing. We need sight, and the Holy Spirit opens our eyes spiritually, gives us spiritual sight. And then you need light. He enlightens God's word so that we can understand it. "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know," that you may know. See, only then can you know the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and on he goes. That's how we know. Well, how do we get the ministry of the Spirit? By prayer. We need to pray for the understanding of God's word. You know, do we read the Bible and saturate our time in the Bible in prayer? You know, looking up to God and asking him to open our eyes and to teach us. That's what the psalmist did. Psalm 119 again, that great psalm that says so much about the Bible. Psalm 119, verse 18. "Open now mine eyes." God has to open our spiritual eyes, our understanding, the eyes of our soul, "that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." If your eyes are closed, can you see anything? No. Well, our eyes are closed until God opens them. Then we can see the wondrous things of his law. Verse 33 and 34. "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yeah, I shall observe it in my or verse 66. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Teach me. You know one problem? People don't really want to know. You know, God sometimes answers us based on how much we want it, how serious we are, how earnest and fervent our prayers. Oh Lord, I really like to understand your word. Thanks anyway. You know, is that going to get an answer? I don't think so. God does not enjoy cold prayers. Proverbs 2 tells us how we should pray to understand the Bible. Verses 1 to 3. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. In other words, his whole being is being directed to understanding the Bible. Yea, if thou criest, here's his prayer, crying, Lord, please, I need to understand your word. My soul and my salvation depend on it. Doing your will and honoring you depend on it. Cry after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding. Do we do that? Is it that important to us? Do we care that much? And do we show it by how we pray for it? And then when we do read the Word, we need to have faith in it. It's called the Word of Faith. We need to receive the Word in faith. Otherwise, it won't do us any good. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4. Verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. Well, they had the word and it didn't do them any good. Why not? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. No faith, no blessing. No faith, no understanding. No faith, no profit. God expects us to respond to His Word in faith. And it's by faith we understand His Word. Hebrews 11. People don't believe that God created the world. Why? They have no faith. How could that be that God brought all this into being out of nothing? Well, if you have faith, that's not hard to understand or to accept. Verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God, by the power of His Word, brought all things into existence out of nothing, created them. We understand that if we have faith. Otherwise, it's a great hardship for a natural man to understand how that could be. Well, not only faith, but the Bible says faith produces love. It works by love. We need to have a love for God's Word. In other words, reading the Bible is not just an intellectual exercise. It's a love affair. The Bible is God's love letter to us. And don't you love to read something from your heart? And doesn't it just fill you with love for that person? Well, God is the lover of our soul. In Psalm 119, in verse 97, Psalm 119, here's what the psalmist said. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Do you have trouble thinking on the Bible? No, I say, love you. Now, you ever see someone that, oh, I'm in love. Well, I can't think of anything else but the one I love. And, you know, they're all smitten. Well, are we smitten by the Scriptures? I love it so much. If you love something, you think about it. You want to be with it as much as possible. You enjoy its company. Well, if we love the Bible, that's what we'll do. And how do we show we love the Bible? Well, we show our love by our obedience. Faith produces love. Love produces obedience. And so we need to obey the Word. If we read the Word and then don't put it into practice into our lives, we won't really understand it, and it won't do us any good. It can't stop with just filling our heads with knowledge. It has to fill our hearts with love, and that love is expressed by doing what God says. Psalm 111 and verse 10, it says there, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, a good understanding of all they that do His commandments." Oh, not just hears them, learns them, does them. His praise endures forever. We'll never understand the Bible until we see it working in our lives as we step out in obedience and do what God says. What does James 1 say? James chapter 1. Verse 22. Here He told us how to hear the word. What are we supposed to do with the word? "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man, and only this man, is blessed by in his deed, or in his doing what he has learned." We're not blessed until we do it, until we put it into practice. Like Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Not just blessed are you to know them. We aren't blessed to know them, but it cannot stop there. You know, we get the understanding in our heads, we get the love in our hearts, and then we exercise our wills to obey the word. And finally, we should teach what we learn to others. It shouldn't stop with us. God doesn't give these things to us that we should only keep them to ourselves. He wants us to give it to those who don't have it. In Matthew chapter 10, and verse 27, here's what Jesus said. "What I tell you in darkness, in your Bible study, that speak ye in light. And what you hear in the ear, know what God tells you, that preach ye upon the housetops." In other words, don't keep it to yourself. It's meant to be shared. It's meant to go beyond you, from you to others. 1 John, we find that's what the apostles did. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. Here's what John said. And he's an example for us in this. "This then is the message which we have heard of him." Here's what God told us. "And declare unto you." God told it to us, now we're telling it to you. "That God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." In other words, in giving, you shall receive. The more you give out of what God teaches you, the more he'll give you, so you can give it out yet more. And so the way to be blessed and increased is to give. Is he that gives and yet increases. And he that withholds more than his meat and it tends to poverty. Don't hold it back. Tell it from the mountaintops. Let's close in prayer.